Well, good morning and welcome to all who have gathered in God's house here at 8th Reformed in the sanctuary to worship and praise the living God. It's just good to see you. It's good to be back with you. I know we weren't gone long, but I want you to know when we're not here, we miss you. We know things are in good hands. It's not that we're worried. We just miss being with you. So it's good to be here again this morning to worship and praise our Heavenly Father. If you're visiting with us this morning, we say a warm greeting to you. We hope that you're blessed through this service, that you feel warmth and hospitality. We invite you to stay for a time of fellowship right after the service. It's right through those doors. There's coffee and cookies available. I think we're trying a new little pattern this morning to help with the congestion. So I'm going to be standing in a different place. So I'm just telling you that. If you want to avoid me, you don't have to go that way. But we'll see if the new pattern helps a little bit with moving things around. When we talk about congestion, we're never complaining. We're just really thankful that you are all here. We remember the days when there was no problem with congestion. So we're actually celebrating that. On the way to Coffee and Cookies, there's also a little shelf there with a book. And if you could, you would be kind enough to sign that if this is your, if you're a first-time visitor. We appreciate that. Just put down your name and your address and a phone number, and we'll even get in touch with you and say hi. To all of those who join us through other means, like Jethro Radio, we know that lots of folks do that. I talk to people sometimes to say, we even listen to Jethro Radio on the way to our church service. And sometimes all we get is your announcements, but we just find it interesting. So, but we greet those folks who are in Jethro Radio, then Jethro.fm. That's the internet connection. And now through YouTube, we have ways of connecting with people through that. And I've noticed that there's been quite a few hits, so that's good, and especially if people keep coming back. And then people still get CDs too. So all different ways that we can reach out. And today is a special day because we also have the installation and ordination of elders and deacons. So that's always a celebratory day in the life of the church too. And I have one announcement, and that is that tomorrow the Bible study class that Wes does, Monday afternoons, 1 o'clock, they're not going to meet tomorrow. So just want you to know that. Our call to worship states, I'll sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I'll proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen ones. Praise the Lord. Let's do that by standing to sing number 588, All for Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just sung All for Jesus. That's our purpose, to live for you and you alone. We have lots of distractions. We admit that as well. And we pray that through the power of your Spirit, you will keep drawing us to yourself in such a way that that would be the desire that we would be able to live out, to do it for you, because you alone are worthy. That's why we sing to you. That's why we worship you. That's why we study about you. And that's why we lift up your name. And so our prayer is that through your presence, this service will be meaningful, that you'll touch each person's heart as only you can do that. And that through this, we will be strengthened as well as drawn to you, to love you and to live for you, all for Jesus. Amen. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We'll now sing number 660, I Will Serve Thee. Yes, you have given life to me. As we come before our God with our congregational prayer, I just want to give you a couple of updates on our church family. First, we ask to be in prayer for Shirley Lohman, who is having a surgical procedure related to her cancer diagnosis this coming Friday. So remember Cal and Shirley and their family in prayer. And then to be in prayer for Betty Holmes. You know she has lots of health concerns and things she's been dealing with. And she has outpatient back surgery scheduled for tomorrow at, I always want to call it St. Mary's yet, Trinity Hospital. And hoping that her health is strong enough to withstand what they have planned for her. And so remember Betty and her family. And then Mary Rulofs asked for continued prayer for her brother, Dave Huvelhorst, who's dealing with bladder cancer, and he's having three cycles of chemo over 12 weeks and then surgery. And this is a very invasive cancer, so it's also being treated in an aggressive way. And we want to remember Don and Judy Winalda in prayer as they laid Don's brother Elmer to rest last Friday. And so we ask for God's presence and strength at this time. And then also Mark and Mary Croft in the passing away of Mark's mother, Nora, the previous week. And we ask that God's strength sustain them as well. And we're grateful to have a Heavenly Father who hears and answers prayer that we can come to with whatever is on our heart. And He always has time to hear what we have to pray about. Let's pray together. On this second Sunday of Lent, we come into your throne room, Father, to worship and to praise your Son, the perfect sacrifice who covers all of our sin with his precious blood. We can't even imagine the horrendous price you paid so that we could be forgiven. But you did it out of your great love for us. That's why all we can really do is worship you. We can't pay you anything. There's nothing we can give you. All we can do is worship you praise you, and never deny that you are our Father, the Creator, the Son, our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit who sustains us. You are the triune God. We're so thankful that you're not angry with us, not letting us die in our sins, but that you provided the great escape from a Christless eternity through your Son, Jesus. In our joy and thankfulness, we're also reminded of all those for whom this is not a reality. And Father, that grieves us. We know it grieves you too. And our prayer would be that your Spirit goes places we can't. That your Spirit would touch people's hearts, melt their hearts, give them a heart of flesh instead of stone, and draw them to yourself, that they too might experience what it means that it's all about Jesus. In the leadership of this church, there's much to thank you for. And Father, we thank you for the service of Rick Miller as a deacon and Terry Osterhaus as an elder. And now they have come to a time of respite. And so we ask for your blessing and equipping on Marge and Keith and Mel and Jeff as they'll be installed and ordained today. And then we pray that you continue to fill Doug and Peter, Tim and Larry, Shannon, Larry and myself with your Spirit as we continue to serve as elders and deacons. And give us a sense of vision and love for your body, the Church of Christ, and what you want to do and where you want to lead us. We pray, Father, that that might be a truth every day. And as we think about next Saturday in our first consistory meeting, we ask for your presence, that you would lead, guide, and direct. We pray, Father, for your continued blessings on Pastors Mark, on Garrett, and Harvey as they serve you here and elsewhere. Faithful servants who stand on the authority of Scripture. And for Pastor Howard and all his years of serving you faithfully, many of them right here at A3 Forum. Help us always to submit and to surrender fully to your lordship and your leading. As we pray for the spiritual well-being of the church, we also remember all those whose names are listed in the bulletin dealing with ailments, be it physical or emotional. We say a special prayer for Shirley Lohman, Betty Holmes, David Huvelhorst. And Father, then we know there's others who have things scheduled for this week. They have appointments set up already. There's going to be consultations. There's going to be going over test results, all of that stuff. Our prayer is that your Spirit's presence would give comfort as well as strength. And if decisions have to be made, that whatever decision is made, that, Father, they will experience your peace. Only you can do that. We pray, Father, for Darlene Simhowowitz and Gladys Kessel as two of our shut-ins. We ask a blessing on those two ladies today, even this Sunday, that they will experience a Lord's Day blessing. We pray for relationships and for all of our relationships within the family circle, within the church family, in the greater community. The onus is always on us to do it well because we're your children. We call ourselves Christians, little Christ. Touch our hearts in such a way that this becomes natural for us. We ask your comfort for those who are grieving as we pray today for the Winalda family and the Croft family. And then we know there's others who are dealing with the loss of loved ones and the grief that they're experiencing. Will you give them comfort and give them strength? Father, will you deal kindly with our nation and guide those who you've placed in places of authority? Might there be a peace treaty between Russia and the Ukraine? And Father, that in the peace there might be new fertile ground again to spread the good news of who you are. We pray for that peace too in the Middle East between Israel and her neighbors. And would you bless our military and give wisdom to those in leadership? We seek your grace for areas of our nation that are dealing with severe weather. We think of those traveling, some coming back here even this day after the season in the south. We thank you for others, Father, who have been gone for a spell to warmer climate and back with us again. We thank you for watching over us as we were separate one from another. And Father, when we think about the inclement stuff that happens with a severe weather, we're grateful too for first responders and organizations like Samaritan's Purse. Today we pray for the Bunapardals in Thailand and for other missionaries around the globe and here at home. Might they have resources to be effective where you've called them to minister, and especially may your Spirit be present. We implore you for mercy for those persecuted and tortured, for professing you as Savior and Lord. We thank you for organizations like the Voice of the Martyrs. As we read your word, might your Spirit make the Scriptures come alive so that we'll be blessed, comforted, convicted, however you want it to speak to us. Spirit, our prayer is that you have your way with us. Our only prayer is that you don't leave us alone. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 590, I'll Live for Him, and we'll sing the refrain only after the last verse. 590, singing the refrain only on the last verse. Please stand to sing. You may be seated. Dear congregation, today is a special day at 8th Reformed Church. Two new elders and two new deacons will be installed, of which one will be ordained. As you recall, we had a congregational meeting on February the 16th. It was downstairs. It was over coffee and cookies. And these people were selected. It's a high calling. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's a responsibility. And it makes this day distinct. We also want to thank Rick Miller for his service as a deacon. In the last year, he also served as chairman of the deacons. And Terry Osterhaus for her years of service as an elder. These folks answered God's call, rose to the task, were blessed by God, and they did what he called them to do. Today there's a change. Marge and Keith, Jeff and Mel will be ordained and installed. But rather than a change in leadership, it's really a substitution of players. Our master, our leader, has not changed. The goals and the purpose of the church have not changed. We are the body of Christ. We are called to worship our leader, Jesus the Christ. We are called to seek the lost, to minister to those who are hurting, to encourage the discouraged, to provide for those who are without, and to build each other up based on the truth of God's word. To those who are retiring at this time, this doesn't mean your work is done. But in case you just think that's just for them, that's the truth for all of us. We have tasks to do. We have tasks to do in our personal life, in the life of our community and also in the life of our congregation. To focus for a moment on our elected officers, those who are called to be leaders of the church now, I'll just say a little bit about our form of government. We are a Presbyterian form of government. And Presbyterian, in that you have the word presbyter, which is actually just another word for elder. We have a Presbyterian form of government, and the presbyters, the elders, are the ones who have the most authority. Not power, authority. Simple example. If there was a problem in the intersection of Clyde Park and Burton, and there was a cop in the intersection, and if he goes like this and stops the traffic, that's not power. There isn't one vehicle he could hold back. But when the vehicles stop, that's authority. The elders have the authority of the church. They are the overseers of Eighth Reformed. They're responsible for the well-being of the congregation, the spiritual well-being, including the deacons and the pastor. The elders are like the lifeguard at the pool. They oversee all the activities when the pool is open, meaning that they'll be there. And they themselves must be good swimmers. At times they give swimming lessons or assist those who do. For the deacons, they're called for acts of mercy, outreach, service, and social justice. They make sure the pool is in good shape and that people can afford to swim. These, along with the minister, make up the consistory. Our head, Jesus Christ, is the one we always remain accountable to. We remain accountable to Him and how we use our gifts, conduct our affairs, and live our lives. And in Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives instructions, challenges, warnings, and blessings in how to live holy lives and to be worthwhile workers in the kingdom of God, regardless of what our task is that He has called us to do. This morning's Bible reading instructs us on how to be ready to serve. And so if you turn with me, it's page 1485 in your pew Bible. We're going to read from Luke chapter 12. 1485 in the pew Bible, Luke chapter 12. We'll read verses 35 to 38 and then 41 through 43. Luke 12, verse 35, hear the word of God. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. Verse 43. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. So the first instruction, be dressed, be ready to serve, reporting for duty, ready for action. You know, sports teams go through rigorous workouts, and people who are really committed and dedicated are always working out at home, doing different things, hanging out at the gym. And then there's the practices, and then there's the scrimmages, but it's all to get ready for the real game. And what this passage tells us is that we are to be game ready, dressed in the right uniform. So what's the right uniform? Well, that's that whole armor of God that we read about in Ephesians. But Jesus teaches us, be ready. Be ready. Keep your lamps burning. What does it mean to keep your lamps burning? Well, it means to study the Word, to pray, to participate in worship. Worship is an important part of our Christian journey. And to do Bible study and daily devotions. There's also no substitute for daily devotions. I encourage you over and over, at least 15 minutes a day. At least. There isn't one of us that doesn't have time to do 15 minutes a day. Spending time in God's Word, spending time in prayer. This is how we keep our lamps burning. Spiritual readiness. None of us can work in the dark. And then we're called to be waiting. And so what are we waiting for? Well, one of the things, of course, we're waiting for, the ultimate, is our Master's return. I know we don't spend that much time thinking about it, but the Master's return, we are called to be ever vigilant for His coming back. Maybe today. Maybe today. I always remember when Beth worked at Radio Bible Class, where you walked in their office on an archway where you, before you went into the plant. It says, maybe today. Do we really think that that could happen? Or no, we're pretty sure that at least this next week will still unfold. But as we're waiting, this is not passive waiting. What's passive waiting? Passive waiting is what I do Saturday nights when I set the alarm clock for Sunday morning. I don't stay up all night watching the clock move. That would be active waiting. No, I go to sleep. It's passive waiting, trusting the alarm clock will go off when it's supposed to. Okay? What a guard does is active waiting. They are watching. They are alert. They're trying not to be distracted by things that are unimportant. Why? Because if anything happens, they want to be ready. They are dressed for duty. They are ready to deal with the situation. That's what we're called to do too. So there's really two levels. One is ready for the Master to return. Ready for Jesus to come back. And you know, I want just a little sidebar on that. We are all going to meet Jesus. There isn't anybody here that this isn't a reality for. One day we will meet Him. We will see Him face to face, and it's going to happen in one of two ways. One way will be one when we die. It says there's appointed for a man, a woman to die, and after that the judgment. When we die, in a split second, we'll be in His presence. You know that rocket liftoff that just happened? The speed of that's incredible, and then what would seem like just a short time, a couple days later, they're at the moon. And that is amazing. I'm not taking anything away from that. I don't even know how it works. But when we die in a split like that, we will be in the presence of the Lord. Instantly. So that's one way we'll meet Him. And the other way will be if He comes back while we are still living. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time will be no more, when we see Him on the clouds, that's another way that we will meet Him. Now, Peter has a question in verse 41 to 43. None of us are surprised that Peter has the question. And maybe you're thinking, oh, Peter, you shouldn't ask that because this is really incriminating for us today. It applies to us in 2025. It makes this passage really relevant for Installation Sunday in 2025. Peter asks, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? In other words, is this important for us, Jesus, or is this for all the people? Peter always wanted to know those things. And the Lord answered, you notice that Jesus' answers usually aren't like yes, no. The answer comes in a little story. And that's what we have in verse 42. The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants, to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds, here's your key word, whom the master finds doing so when he returns. In other words, be working. Ever think about that? That our time is really not our own? That we're called to submit and surrender our time to the Lord? I know this is a touchy subject with retired people because they often think that, no, I've reached that point in my life, time's my own now. I paid my dues, I did my stuff, now it's about me. I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. We are called to surrender our time to the Lord, and then He will guide us in how He calls us to use it. So we are called to be ready to work, to give the food or the food allowance at the proper time. And Jesus said, it'll be good for that servant, the ones who do that. So therefore, elders and deacons, verse 42 is powerful, and it contains a charge, orders, if you would, from Christ Himself about what you are to do as you are waiting, watching, and being ready. And what you're called to do is to be working. Give them their food allowance at the proper time. Another way to put that is to do the good works that God has prepared. That you'll recognize this. This is out of Ephesians 2. To do the good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. You know, if you've ever been in a play, you get the whole script, and then you know when it's your turn to talk or when you have to do something or when you have to walk somewhere. Can you picture that God has this all planned for your life? Good works prepared in advance for you to do. There's a whole script. And I think sometimes we miss out on the good stuff that's in the script because we're pretty busy with our own stuff. And Jesus is like, no, follow my script. That's where the blessings are. That's where the good stuff happens. The good works. And what are the good works? The bread of life is what we really have to offer. All we really have to offer is Jesus. You've heard the saying before, as Christians, we're one beggar showing another beggar where the bread is. Telling people about Jesus. So elders, deacons, pastors, you're called to do that. You're called to do that, to build up the body of Christ. And that's not just taking care of the people that are here, but also a concern for those who are not. Those who are not sitting in worship. Those who are not participating in the worship exercises. Those who are, we just notice are absent. You know, a good farmer, if he's got 100 cows, or you can use the example Jesus used with the sheep. If you've got 100 sheep and one or two are missing, you do go looking for them. And as the leadership in the church, that's our job. That's our responsibility. That's what we're called to do. And so we look for those who are missing from worship, whatever reason. The other task is to make people self-feeders. Now, to put this in context, when you have little kids, babies, and they're 6 months, a year, year and a half, something right in there, it's a real joy to feed them, and it's fun, and you do the airplane thing and all of that. You know, that's enjoyable. Can you imagine doing that when they're 23? It's like, whoa, there's something wrong with this picture. Have we become self-feeders? In our devotions, in our time with the Lord, have we become self-feeders? I think it's a key question. My prayer is always, and my hope is, that this isn't all you get till next Sunday. Because then we would be anorexic Christians, one meal a week. I hope that you spend time in the Word every day for strength for the journey. And to give you a platform on which to stand so you're stable in a world that's really pretty chaotic. And the only way to have the armor of faith is to be able, or is to spend time in the Word of God. So we feed ourselves so we can also feed others, and that starts at home. And so just a personal question in all of this. Do you believe your life is richer because you say Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Amen. Amen. That's a great amen. And that is a really valid question and a critical one. Because Jesus makes a difference in our lives. He transforms who we are. So has it changed things for you? Do you feel like you have a different purpose in life? Do you feel that it's changed the value of who you are? Has it enhanced and enriched your worship experience? Do you feel joy and freedom and hope? Has it changed your focus, what we call a worldview, how I look at life? Jesus as our Savior and Lord is meant to motivate us so that we would care about, pray for, and look for opportunities to share the good news of others out of love. We're called to do this. We are called to do this with those we live with, worship with, our church family, that we work with, that we do our leisure activities with, that we go to school with. So the way Jesus answers Peter, when Peter says, is this just for us or is this for everybody? The way Jesus answered it, it applies to all of us. There is work. There is work for all of us to do. Not just the elders, not just the deacons, not just the pastors. Now, here at 8th Reformed, we have an entrustment from God. We have an entrustment from God, and the entrustment is that we have people at all levels in their spiritual journey. We have people that are mature Christians, we have new Christians, and we need to be willing to feed each other. That's from starter meals to steak, to be willing to feed each other. And so Jesus says in Luke 12, verse 48, the second part, trust, or from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. To whom much is given, much is required. That verse really stirs my heart. To whom much is given, much is required. We've been entrusted much here at 8th Reformed. So many blessings, so many opportunities, and we must be careful not to squander them. And this is true as individuals, and this is true as a church body. So if you know the scriptures and the plan of salvation, and if Jesus is real to you in your life, then you are called to come alongside of others and help them in their journey. We see this pattern in schools where sometimes the kids have trouble catching on. There's some other kids, the smart ones, who will come alongside of them and help them understand. When people had big families, that happened a lot in big families. I had three older sisters. I always say I had four moms. It just works that way. But in the big families, the older kids raise the little ones. We have opportunities to do that as Christ followers. And it works like this. We use the gifts that God has given us. And we use those gifts for His glory. Gifts of hospitality. And a lot of these things you do well, so I also hope that you hear this in a complimentary way. Gifts of hospitality. Gifts of kindness. Gifts of teaching. Gifts of music. Making visits. Doing phone calls. Sending cards. Giving rides. Preparing meals. The prayer shawls. Hats. Mitts. Praying with people. Praying for people. The goal is always that through this, we express and extend the love of Christ. And then in that, what comes through is what Jesus has done in our lives, how He has changed and transformed our lives. We have to remember that being saved is not just a personal ticket to get to heaven, and now I'm good to go. I just live my own life. That's not what it means to be saved. To be saved means to now be part of the kingdom of God and to use our gifts in the kingdom, to be salt and light where He's placed us. And maybe you're thinking, okay, I don't know what I can do about this stuff. I'm not a leader. I'm not this, not that. Well, how can you be supportive? How can you be kind? How can you be encouraging? How can you tell somebody, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be supportive of you. And you know, most of us, many of us are older people. Part of being older is mentoring. I sat beside a 21-year-old college student who really impressed me on the plane back. And she was just so responsible in what she said. And she was a Christian girl. And I said to her, how did you become this responsible? She said, I had wonderful parents. She says, but I had some really good mentors. Mentors who told me about things in life that are important. Things that you start thinking about. And she says, some of the things I never thought about. One of the things she was doing, she's already sponsoring some kids in third world countries. And she says, you know, it made sense to me. What's more important, that me have a new sweater or them have a meal? And I'm like, wow. I wasn't that wise at 21. But she gave her mentors the credit. We influence people's lives. What we say and what we do makes a difference. Let me encourage you that your gifts be one of encouragement. I know some people think that the gifts they have are grumbling and complaining. Those are not gifts of the Spirit. I just want to tell you that up front. Encouragement. Kindness. Being supportive. And always upholding everything in prayer. Yes, there's plenty. There's plenty for all of us to do. As office bearers, elders, deacons, and pastors in the church, we have a special command to meet the needs. But, there's always a but in Scripture, but in Ephesians 4:12, it says, not only doing it, but equipping others to do it. See, that Scripture passage reminds us we are all in this together. You've heard that whole saying, I was going to bring it and I couldn't find it. Someone else? Where the church collapsed because someone else finally retired. And it's like, let someone else do it. Let someone else do it. Let someone else do it. It's about all of us. We all have tasks. And the blessings come in using our gifts. In using our gifts for the tasks that he has provided for us. Ephesians 4:12, to equip the saints for work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. See, ultimately, it's always about him. It's always about the body of Christ. We all have gifts and a special calling. We also have responsibility for what we do with the gifts. And yes, we are family. And as family, we support and encourage one another. Perhaps this is a time to recommit and rededicate ourselves to service him. To use our gifts for service, regardless of where he has placed us or how old we are. Sometimes we use our age in different ways to escape. But remember Jesus' words in Luke 12:43, it will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns, because that person will hear what we all want to hear. Earlier I mentioned there's a time, there's a appointed for all of us to die, and after that the judgment. There's one thing all of us want to hear at that judgment. It's these words from Matthew 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. It's an eternal promise extended to all of us. He invites us to respond today. Father, we come to you. We thank you for the richness of your word and how you teach us how to live the life that pleases you. We sang that earlier, all for Jesus. It's not that hard to sing that song. Now may we be moved to want to live that out in such a way that you can take pride in your children by saying, yes, they belong to me. Father, I pray that you would use this message in any way you see fit, that you would stir our hearts, comfort them, convict them, whatever. If there's anything I say that wasn't pleasing to you, would you delete that from our minds? And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, the risen one. Amen. We will continue our worship service by standing to sing number 665, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. 665. You may be seated. At this time, we will have our ordination and installation service. So, beloved in the Lord, we have come to ordain and install elders and deacons in Christ's holy church. Christ alone is the source of all Christian ministry through the ages, calling men and women to serve. By the Holy Spirit, all who believe and are baptized receive a ministry to witness to Jesus as Savior and Lord, to love and serve those of whom they live and work. We are ambassadors for Christ who reconciles and makes whole. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Following Christ's resurrection and ascension, God has given the church apostles, prophets, teachers, deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, and leadership. We stand within a tradition where God calls and empowers deacons, elders, and ministers of word and sacrament. At this time, I invite Elder Tim to come forward and read the invite.
Beloved of the Lord, we have come to ordain and install elders and deacons in Christ's holy church. Christ alone is the source of all Christian ministry through the ages, calling men and women to serve. By the Holy Spirit, all who believe and are baptized receive a ministry to witness Jesus, our Savior and Lord, and to love those who serve with him as they live and work. We are ambassadors for Christ who reconciles and makes whole. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Following Christ's resurrection and ascension, God has given his church apostles, prophets, and teachers, deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, and leadership. We stand within a tradition where God calls and empowers deacons and elders as ministers of the word and sacrament. This congregation has approved the following people for the offices of deacon and elder: Keith Warren, to be ordained and installed to the office of deacon; Marge Henges, to be installed in the office of deacon; Mel Disicone and Jeff Van Meekeren, to be installed in the office of elder. You are invited to come forward and face the pulpit at this time.
Thank you, Tim. It was just a year ago that you were one of those who came forward. Sister and brothers in Christ, deacons and elders are called to serve as Christ served. We look to them to be people of spiritual commitment, exemplary life, compassionate spirit, sound judgment. Deacons are set apart for a ministry of mercy, service, and outreach. They gather gifts and offerings, care for them faithfully, distribute them with wisdom and compassion to persons in need, and for purposes that advance God's kingdom on earth. Deacons visit and comfort the distressed, provide for whatever necessities may arise, assist the congregation at services of worship. Elders are set apart for a ministry of watchful and responsible care for the welfare and orders of the church. They have oversight of all members, including one another, the deacons, and the ministers, equipping everyone to live in harmony with God's word. They ensure the word of God is rightly proclaimed and taught, the sacraments faithfully administered. Elders assist the minister with their good counsel and serve all Christians with advice, consolation, and encouragement. Elders and deacons together with the minister form the consistory to lead God's people in proclaiming good news to the poor, righteousness to the nations, peace among all. The consistory provides for the welfare of the church, stewardship of property and finance, and the spiritual benefit and growth of all Christ's people. As the three offices of deacon, elder, and minister of word and sacrament are united in Christ, so also in the church, one office is not separate from the others. The minister of word and sacrament does not serve without the elders, and neither without the deacons. Together, they enable the whole mission of the church. Everything in the church will be done decently and in order when faithful persons are called to office and responsibly fulfill their charges. Brothers and sister elect before Almighty God, in the presence of this congregation, answer sincerely these questions. Do you confess together with us and the church throughout the ages your faith in God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Answer individually with, yes, truly, with all my heart, if you agree with that. Jeff?
Yes, truly, with all my heart.
Mel?
Yes, truly, with all my heart.
Keith?
Yes, truly, with all my heart.
Marge?
Yes, truly, with all my heart.
I'm going to ask the congregation at this time to stand, and with these brothers and sister, confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And you know it's now in the very inside back cover of our hymn book, so you know where to look for it. Saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Now I ask the candidates to respond to the following questions. Do you believe in your heart that you are called by Christ's church and therefore by God to this office? And to that end, do you believe the books of the Old and the New Testament as the Word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, rejecting all other beliefs? If so, would you answer yes truly with all my heart? Marge?
Yes, truly with all my heart.
Keith?
Yes, truly with all my heart.
Mel?
Yes, truly with all my heart.
Jeff?
Yes, truly with all my heart.
Will you be diligent in your study of Holy Scripture, in your use of the means of grace? Will you pray for God's people and lead them by your own example in faithful service and holy living? Will you accept the church's order and governance, submitting to ecclesiastical discipline, should you become delinquent, either in life or doctrine? Will you be loyal to the witness and work of the Reformed Church in America, using all your abilities to further its Christian mission here and throughout the world? If so, answer, I will. I ask God to help me. Jeff?
I will. I ask God to help me.
Mel?
I will. And I ask God to help me.
Keith?
I will. And I ask God to help me.
Marge?
Marge
and Keith, as deacons, will you faithfully, diligently, and cheerfully manifest Christ's love and care, gather and distribute the offerings of God's people, visit and comfort the distressed, minister to the poor and needy, and strive to advance God's reign of justice and peace? If so, answer, I will, and I ask God to help me. Marge?
I will.
Hey, Keith? Jeff and Mel, will you faithfully, diligently, and cheerfully study God's Word, oversee the household of faith, encourage spiritual growth, maintain loving discipline, provide for the proclamation of the gospel, and the celebration of the sacraments? If so, answer, I will, and I ask God to help me. Jeff?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
And Mel?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Okay. At this time, we will do the ordination for Keith Warren. Jeff and Mel and Marge were ordained in previous times. And so in the Reformed Church, you only get ordained once. You can get installed more than once, but you only get ordained once. So I'm going to ask Keith if you would kneel in the front here. And the full consistory, okay, that's the greater consistory. Anyone who served as elder and deacon is welcome to come forward at this time. And just we'll surround Keith and put a hand on him. So I invite you to come forward at this time. And this is a reminder that you're not in this alone. Support and encouragement, as well as God's blessing on you. Let's pray together. God of grace, pour out your Holy Spirit, gentle as a dove, burning as fire upon Keith. Fill him with grace and power for this ministry of deacon. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only head of the church, I declare that Keith Warren is ordained to the office of deacon. Keith, you may now stand, and we just want to shake your hand and give you a welcome and a blessing. And after you have had a chance to shake Keith's hand, you're welcome to return to your seats. Okay, and now, just a minute, where did Jeff and Mel go? Reminded of my sermon, always have to be watching. You're now invited to come forward and just to come up on the podium and face the congregation. Deacons, Keith and Marge, and elders, Jeff and Mel. Be faithful in performing your duties. Magnify the one who has called you to these high offices. Be zealous for the church of Christ for which he shed his own blood. Be hospitable, prudent, upright, devout, and self-controlled. Love goodness, holding always to the mystery of the faith. And to remind you that you are not in this alone, ask the members of the congregation of 8th Reformed to stand at this time. And so this is to affirm your covenant with the deacons and elders whom God has given us. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you receive in the name of the Lord these deacons and elders as truly elected and ordained servants of Christ? If so, say we do. Do you promise to respect them for the sake of the offices for which they have been chosen and ordained? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you promise to encourage and pray for them, to labor together in obedience to the gospel, for the unity, purity, and peace of the church, the welfare of the whole world, and the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ? If so, say we do.
We do.
Beloved people of God, receive these deacons and elders, Christ's own servants, support them in love that their work may bear fruit. In the name and by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, I declare these brothers and sister are duly installed as deacons and elders of 8th Reformed Church. Let us pray together. Almighty and merciful God, of whose help and guidance we always stand in need, bestow upon these your servants such gifts as are necessary for them in their respective ministries. Give grace to them that they may serve you faithfully in this life and finally enter into the joy of the life to come in your presence. Grant your grace also to your people who they serve, so that all of us may fulfill our ministry, magnifying your name and increasing the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we are bold to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Welcome, Mel. Welcome, Jeff. Welcome, Marge. Welcome, Keith. Yes. Okay, and at this time, we'll invite, you may be seated as well, for real this time. And at this time, we'll invite the deacons to come forward, and the morning offering will be received. pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you and our hearts are overflowing with thanksgiving and praise. You alone are worthy, and we give it to you. From you all our blessings come. And we pray that the offering might always be seen as a part of worship, to give back just a little bit of all that you've entrusted to us. And then will you bless these gifts like the loaves and the fishes, that many will be touched by it, lives might be enriched, that your kingdom might come through the giving of your people. And we ask and pray this all in Jesus' name, amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 669. The title is Make Me a Servant. And I also want to thank Mary Lee for filling in this morning and playing the piano for us. And it's just good to see you on Sunday instead of just during the week. So, she does go to church somewhere else. I want you to know that. But we thank you, and it was good to have you and Tim here this morning. Receive God's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his countenance towards you and grant you his peace, both now and for all of eternity. Amen.
This week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. And if you'd like a CD of one of our services, call the church office during the week at 616-452-9417, and we'll be happy to send you one free of charge. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care. Thank you.